A Shishkin Productions podcast.
I'm not really a producer. I do a lot of post-producing, but...
You know, you're a Ted Lasso type. I could see you coming in and coaching a team and being the next Ted Lasso of the Florida Panthers.
What's up, Sizzlers? Yo. What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel Podcast.
What up? What up?
Coming at you from a Crypto.com podcast studio here in wonderful, scenic, warm Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, dude, it is
80 degrees in November.
Yeah, 75. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, I'm going to Florida for Thanksgiving in a few weeks.
It's colder in Florida.
Well, I was like, it's going to be great because, you know, it'll have been cold for like 6 weeks in New York, and I'll be stoked to be back in the warm weather. Yeah. It hasn't been cold at all. Like, at night, I think there's been one or two nights where it got into the 50s, but for the most part,
I think the big thing about New York... vacationing out of New York during Thanksgiving is you got to be the rule of thumb I always find is before Thanksgiving, it's all like pretty manageable. And then if you leave and you come back, that's usually by that time it's gotten really shitty.
Yep. That's what's going to happen.
But it's okay. You know, I'm all about this. I'm thriving. Time to shine.
As you're listening to us, we've just, gone back to the dark ages of no more daylight saving time.
Right.
That switch happened yesterday morning.
It is. And this is where I thrive. I love this time of the year when it gets dark early.
Very depressed.
We get to go into the night.
I'm slowly going to get sadder and sadder on the future episodes.
I'm going to be like Alexi in July. Gain energy. Yeah. You're going to be like me in July. I was pretty down. I mean, we were not doing anything. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm just going to be straight up.
Yes.
The first half is going to be not even half. It's going to be about maybe like a fifth of the show.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because the second half,
well, we got a special guest
coming up and it's going to be so good. We got a lot of stuff. We're going to be crashing the boards with a very special guest.
Mm-hmm.
But we better work our damnedest to make this first half amazing. Because I have a feeling that we might comment on it at the beginning of the second half.
Oh, you think so?
I think we might talk about how amazing this first half was.
Okay, all right. Well, then
why don't you start with the YouTube shit, or not the YouTube shit, the stuff, our socials, that's it.
Okay, yeah. So we are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Follow our work account.
Follow the work account.
Shishkin Productions.
The work account.
The office account. What do you call it?
I don't know. Like, you're right.
Why do we have different accounts anyway?
I really don't know.
Why do we even have at Sizzle Reel Gang? No one uses it. No one cares.
Follow the work account.
You said it today. The only thing that you use the at Sizzle Reel Instagram account to do is
to DM Banter Brooklyn and reserve tables for soccer games.
Exactly. What are we doing here? Shishkin Productions on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
And of course, this one's actually important.
Murder.
Don't care about the ads.
Oh, no.
But
the Gmail.
Give us. No, I already did the Gmail.
Oh, my bad.
Or maybe I didn't. Who cares? But give us a call.
Call us. Brr.
At the cold line.
Oh, my God.
It is
332-333-4361. Call in. Leave a message. You know what? The mailbox might be full from all of the calls we've gotten.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
you were going to say full of dust.
Yeah, full of dust. No, we haven't gotten the right call yet. We have so many, so many voicemails. We had to rent out a separate, like storage facility deep in Utah, like a big server farm to store all of the voicemails that we have.
Yeah.
We just haven't found the right one to
right
play.
Right next to the alien facility.
We haven't found the right one to play. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's because our Sizzlers aren't pulling their weight.
No, they're fucking
not giving us good content. In their defense, we're not giving them good content either.
But we're giving them a lot of it consistently. We're giving them consistent shit to fake listen to while they're like sleeping and stuff like that.
So that kind of brings us to our first topic, you know, like trying to grow our Sizzler database.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Now, look, I wasn't a part of this conversation, but Mike Bliss and Daniel Kuba, former guests of the show, you were hanging out with them recently.
You may know them as the Time Fly and the Ice Cube.
Yes, that's true. That's true. They suggested something kind of wild that I don't know if we should do it, but that gave a really strong example of why we should, and it blows my mind. And I'll let you talk about it. You were there.
I was there. So basically, Coob was, maybe we'll have him on at some point. We can debate the pros and cons of it. But he said that we should start recording these episodes and put them on YouTube. He was like, you guys got to put this on YouTube. And I was like, he was like, you'll see like more growth that way. And it'll lead to potentially, you know, you get subscribers and then eventually blah, 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 far down the line could be like, you know, another income stream.
Yeah.
First of all, let me tell you how that isn't like wrong. That's just no offense, Coop. But I personally think that it's kind of wrong because we're not going to promote it. We don't have anywhere to promote it. And then also, like, in order for it to become a viable revenue stream, it's going to take like 2 more years at least of doing it.
It definitely can be viable. It's just the lack of viability is the lack of work we want to do on it, to be honest. Like, we could absolutely do it, and I bet we could grow it. I mean, he was talking about the edit cast or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the editing podcast, I believe, is what it's called.
Yeah, and it has like 10 episodes, and they already have 30,000 subscribers. And it's like, well, we have 110 episodes.
Yeah, but they also, and we have 22. Also, like, I think they put a lot of effort into their show. Like,
a full-time job for them.
Yeah, I think that their full-time job is to edit. I could be wrong, but I think it's to edit for like YouTubers. They edit for like big YouTubers, and all of the editors who work for all these big YouTubers came together to do this podcast. I really don't know, but I don't know. They have 29,100 subscribers.
That's ridiculous.
And just like looking at their podcast, like they definitely put work into it. Like, it's not like some shit that I would do. Cause what I told him, I was like, you know, I would, okay, fine. I'll put the shit on YouTube. I'll put up one camera and hit record and then put that. And he's like, well, no, you might want to make 3 cameras and then light it as well. It's like, well, see, that's the part where I'm like, I'm just not going to do that, man. Like, I don't think I can. You know what I mean? If you look at it, they literally have like, they're like 35 minute videos, and they punch in on like different pieces, like visual examples. They'll like show quotes. They have different backgrounds, different setups with different people. Some are 4-person conversations, 5-person conversations, 3-person conversations. They'll segment the YouTube video, which, you know, maintaining the YouTube channel is a job in itself. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, they have like a camera on a slider or
something. That's what I'm saying. They really do a lot of work, and their show looks fucking amazing. That's great. But it's just not, you know, it's not a... it's not something that really fits to where we are, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I think they're younger. We're just a little too old to be doing this with our spare time just to like grow it. The other part is like, I wouldn't even want to do it, because just looking at like their thumbnails and the way they title the videos, it's like that typical. I'm sure the content's great, but the titles and shit like, and the thumbnails are trash, or like,
They're not even trash. They're really good.
They're a typical YouTube trash of like, I can't stand that.
I mean, it's YouTuber style.
It's like breaking down the best edits of all time. Like, you haven't seen all the edits. How are you going to break them down? Like, and also some of this is built in, like the truth behind editing for Taylor Swift. Like, one, there's like a clickbaitiness to it. But if you've edited for Taylor Swift, then that's automatically, people are going to be interested in that content. We don't edit for those kind.
I just don't think that ours has really any place on, like, it would never get this big, because we don't talk about exciting shit. No offense. Like, we kind of talk about just like working class day to day bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have.
Well, and these guys worked with like Logan Paul and shit. Like, it's like big YouTubers where they already have a built in
marketing arm.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
So I think that's why they're drawing numbers. It's not because people are super interested in an editing podcast.
Yeah. I mean, the quality of it is really, really good. I will say that. I think it's really dope. I think that the branding is really on point. I think that the style of the videos is good. The quality of them is incredible. Like, they do a lot, and you can tell. It looks fucking great.
Yeah.
And I know that ours would not look this good and it just wouldn't be, it's not the same. It wouldn't be the same. It's not, it's just not worth, in my opinion, it's not worth doing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a hard no on it.
This is, you know? It's one of those things where it's mostly marketing, you know,
yeah.
And that's not what we're interested in.
Like the two guys, if you look at the two guys who do it,
yeah.
Yes. I don't know if you already scrolled down.
One has 350,000 subscribers. No. The other has like 700.
One has 264,000 subs and one has, yeah, 640,000 subs. Yeah. So between them, they basically have 1 million subs. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's a great starting point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Whereas so ours was like,
I've completely discounted Kuba's idea now. Cause like yeah. They didn't grow that. I mean, I'm sure that they grew their own channels organically, but they didn't grow this
right. The
editing podcast channel organically. Kuba, they have built in marketing.
Kuba, like, if you're listening, I just want to say I don't discredit your idea fully like that. So I'm just trying to, you know, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think that we're capable
Kuba,
of doing
it. Come fight me.
I would love to see this, man. Kuba, next time you
not
come
physically,
on.
Not physically, just with
next
words.
Next time you come on, you and Chris will have a fucking throwdown.
Yeah.
What I will say is, like, there's just a lot of great, they had already done a lot of work before they started this.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had done work in that specific realm,
kind of work than what we do.
Our lane is different. Yeah. Our lane doesn't really relate to social media and to like growth of I don't know, like to social media really. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like that's, it doesn't, cause like I don't have Instagram. I don't really fuck with any of that shit. I'll like read mm-hmm. Twitter every so often and I like to lurk on TikTok. But like
lurker.
You don't fuck with that shit really either, I don't think.
No,
you
know, so like, I don't care about it.
It's
I just like can't force myself to care about
so
it.
So it doesn't make any sense to, you know, try to put it on YouTube. Like I said, the furthest I would go is to record it maybe on one camera. But the reason I don't want to do that is because this is so fucking good. The editing podcast.
Yeah.
I could ask one of them to come on our show maybe.
Yeah.
But like this shit is so fucking good that
we could do a home and away.
There's no reason for us to even try to compete with it. Like I think that what we would be pulling off as our entry point into that in a competitive way would be so blown out of the water by what they're doing that there's no reason to even start because it just seems like, it's not, they're totally different worlds. They're totally different worlds.
And like we could do that. Like we could have the same quality that they have.
I don't think we could.
We 100% could. It's just that we wouldn't. Like we're not going to put that much effort into it. Yeah. Like we have the ability to make it that good, but we don't have the care, you know, like
yeah.
The reason that we're 110 episodes in is because we can literally spend 15-20 minutes preparing a rundown before the show, knock this out on a Friday night before we go home for the weekend. It's just you and me bullshitting. And it's like, it's perfect.
You're right.
It's fun.
You're not wrong. But
like, cause we did this for Ask Not Me Anything for Jerm's podcast in the first season where we had to spend an hour just setting up the cameras yeah. And then, you know,
and then Vince had to edit it for like a long time. See,
exactly.
This is why I wish Vince had actually jumped on this first 10 minutes, but he looked he was tired as fuck. Because I would love to hear his opinion on this shit too. Cause Vince actually is a social media guy.
Yeah. He has like 14,000 followers on Instagram or whatever.
I don't know. Numbers are so fucking weird because 14,000 seems like a lot. And then like you're like, oh, but this guy has 265,000. Then like, and this guy has 700,000. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
Well, it's weird, though, because like most of those followers aren't editors, you know, like they're probably people who are kind of interested in it or they like the content, but they're not necessarily like pursuing it as a career.
Maybe they are. There's a lot of fucking people out there. There's a lot of kids out there who are like,
but that's
16.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like they're not in the profession yet. And like,
you know,
it's really just basic.
I mean, I like to think that listeners that we have might be like just starting their profession.
I guess that's true.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not even that far along in the profession. I've been doing it for a long time, but I haven't grown. I haven't grown in like probably 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it's been like 4 years for me.
Yeah. So I've just been like doing the same thing. And that's why, I mean, I had this conversation with, a friend of ours on the phone the other day about the middle class of editing kind of being squeezed out.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I'm not feeling very confident about the future because I think that the middle class, like I just said, the middle class of editing is getting squeezed out.
Yeah, it's either going to be the cheap YouTube jobs that like any green kind kid of can do.
What we do.
I don't think so. I think we do some higher stuff. I'm talking about like video game YouTube, like really like single creators who will, you know, pay $100 for an edit video. Yeah. And then there's the high end clients that you get, you know, $150,000 contracts at a time or whatever, or bigger. I mean, right now we definitely are. We mostly do the middle class stuff. Not completely, but mostly. And it's reasonably paid jobs, but they're, you know, 2 weeks at a time. It's like typical freelance work, you know?
Yeah.
Like what you'll find in New York City.
I don't know. I feel like what I would like to do rather than like, cause I think, man, I sound like such a fucking grandpa, but I feel like the kids these days are all about growing their own presence and being like, I want to grow my channel and my channel is this and I make these things and I want someone to give me money to make this thing. I kind of just want to get right to the end of that. I don't feel the need to ever grow a channel. Same. I don't want to ever grow a channel. I just want like,
I'm not ego driven enough to do that.
I'm very ego driven, but I want some like company or some, you know, studio, whatever. Like I want them to hire me to make a show for them.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck if I want them to distribute it. I don't want to control distribution or anything. I want them to fucking, I want to just make it.
I
want to
create it. You know? I don't care what, like, I don't want to be responsible for what happens after final delivery. You know,
I will say though, I mean, now just saying it out loud and thinking about it, it's like, that's kind of the way ideas get destroyed, right? Is when you say I want to do this thing and then they go, okay, we'll hire you for it, and then you give it to them, they're like, change this and that and this and this and that, and I think this host would be better than that host, and actually what if instead of a travel show it was just like a fucking show about cars, and you're like, wait, why am I making a show about cars? Like I don't even like cars.
But yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but also, hey, look, if you want to make something for yourself, you can always just throw it out on YouTube and you don't have to like worry about growing your channel, because at that point it's just for, it's, you're doing it for yourself to create something. But yeah, like I don't care about the distribution.
I feel like it'd be cool just to make like a pilot of the exact show I want to make and then go like try to sell it to someone. Problem is, who do you sell it to, you know?
Some idiot.
Get Matt King on the phone. No, I'm just joking. Chris, you have anything else to say on this topic, or do you want to say anything else? Because I know the second half is going to go a little bit long, I have a feeling.
I think we could wrap
the first half up.
We have
quick.
A lot of content lined up, and our guest is just right next to us. He's so eager.
He's champing at the bit.
He's champing at the bit.
That's what you learned last week from a way previous week.
That's true.
Way previous week.
And chill. You'll turn his mic off.
It's a horse. I'm just kidding. It's not a horse.
All right. Let's, you want to head to break? You got any last words?
No, I don't have any last words. Matt King just texted me. But I don't think it's something we can talk about on the show.
Perfect.
But, all right. See you in a little bit.
Welcome to Rounds of Sound, the podcast where we go song for song with indie artists to find out their influences and the stories behind their songs.
I'm here with Hannah Jadagu.
The way I recorded my first couple of songs was all through my iPhone.
We have Victoria Park.
I was on Twitter, as I am, and was like, hey, are there like any labels who follow me who might be interested?
It's the one and only Liam Kazara.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. You gotta walk all your gear up a flight of stairs.
Okay, that's no fun.
Check out Rounds of Sound exclusively on Spotify and find out the influences behind your favorite artists. That's Rounds of Sound.
Welcome back, Sizzlers.
Welcome.
We are here.
First segment was fucking sick.
Super litty.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, we're definitely not running on fumes.
No, the first segment was incredible.
Yeah, no, it was great. We're here with friend of the show, special guest, Jerm Cohen. Jeremy, how you been, man?
I'm good. Half of my mouth is currently numb because I just got a cavity filled less than 30 minutes ago. Came straight to the pod and now I'm here.
That's dedication.
You know that feeling when your mouth is numb and you're like trying to do stuff, like smile, and you just feel like...
Yo. Nice. You know that feel when your mouth is numb and you try to smile? Is that what the question was?
Dude, I feel like a crazy bird and smiling. Right now. Like, do I look normal right
you
now?
Look normal, you look normal as hell. Yeah, you look normal as hell.
Okay, having facial hair probably helps too. You know, covers any inconsistencies.
I think it does because I definitely have some. I don't know.
You sound great.
Thanks.
You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that your mouth was numb if you hadn't told us.
Enhanced voice.
One episode for like a special like a kind of a thing. We should all like take a bunch of Novocaine or whatever and try to
just
swish it
around in our mouth.
To start like right at the first thing we do and see how progressively terrible the podcast is.
No, but like a bunch of Novocaine. Because I just got it in like just the side of my mouth. Like, what if we do it all around our mouth?
Start
drooling on the pod.
Like, it starts
up
with us normally talking and then we swish Novocaine and then it gets worse.
And you know what? What if we take some Quaaludes on top of that?
Dude, I'm way ahead of you. I already took some.
Producer Germ. Producer Germ really getting it going. Chris, why is Germ here? What's he doing here?
Well,
what am I doing here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I honestly just like got a calendar invite that said record with Germ, and I was like, okay, sure.
Well, you know, Germ likes basketball.
Yeah,
I know he can get rebounds.
Oh yeah,
he's always getting rebounds. Okay. You know how he gets those rebounds?
How does he get those rebounds?
By crashing the boards.
Wow,
that's what he does.
We're all crashing the boards today. It's been a minute.
It has been
a minute.
In a minute, I'm gonna need to crash the boards with Jeremy Cohen right hugging now. It has been a minute. We've actually had two Amy games and a Chris versus, and probably two Chris versuses.
I think it's been like 15 or 20 episodes.
It legit has been.
I think we're in the 90s.
A while, as Hank Hill would say.
Yeah.
Damn it, Bobby. Germ, you know how this works? Did Chris run you through? Why don't you give a breakdown of how you think this works?
How I think it works. Well, first I got to get subbed in. I usually ride the bench, but hopefully I get in the game. Oh. And then once I get in there, if there's a shot and it hits off the rim, I'm running in there and I'm crashing the boards. Yeah. I'm getting that rebound. I'm getting that assist, passing it over to Joel Embiid, dunk, Sixers win championship. That's a ring.
Yeah,
that's a trophy.
They're not having a great year so far. But
they're bouncing back. Four wins in 5 days. Come on.
They're on the rebound.
So what you're saying is when you get put in the game, it's like, boom.
What I'm saying is,
put it in the hoop like slam.
All right, Aaron Carter.
You hear the crowd screaming out.
What I'm saying is, Philly sports is at an all-time high right now. Eagles undefeated. Sixers, greatest team.
Very defeated.
Well, no, it's the beginning of the season. It's fine, but they have the best roster in a long time. Philly's in the fucking World Series
now. That's what's happening to the Sixers,
Union,
though. The Union.
Union in the finals.
As you wear an NYCFC.
I like my New York teams, but I'm also a Philly
sports fan. Fuck NYCFC, first of all. But
I will not take that slander here.
Did you go to the game against Miami?
Of course
I did.
Oh, you were there? Yeah. I should have said, what's up?
No, that was the one at the other baseball stadium.
Yeah.
I went to Flushing to watch that.
I went to the game at Citi Field. I was there. Wait, you were there?
I was there. Yeah.
Damn. That was a good, it was an easy win.
Yeah, I know.
Stop, dude. We're not talking about this shit. He's doing this to fucking wind me up and I can't fuck with this. This is ridiculous.
Dude, this is part of the podcast. Crashing the boards is part of, it kind of can relate to soccer too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to crash the
net. All those boards.
And you know what? That's how Maxi gets those goals. You got to root for the small kings. That's what I do. And that's why NYCFC.
Maxi Morales is dope. I will say he's cool.
Come on. Right?
I just hate the fans. No offense, but I hate
more than Brits
and the ownership group. Well, no, I hate British people more than NYCFC fans, I guess. Yeah. But they're pretty
out here taking
close.
Out everyone
they're
here.
Okay,
close.
I have a question.
Collateral damage.
Speaking of, no, I don't want to ask this question.
You don't want to?
Should I?
Sure.
Okay, so you've mentioned you hate the Brits. You hate NYCFC fans. Mm-hmm. What in this world do you hate the most? What one single thing like falls number
I hate,
one?
You know what I hate? I hate hate.
Ah.
I hate hate. Wow. I hate hate, man.
Good answer.
I hate intolerance.
Do you love love?
I love love.
Really?
I love being in love.
Are
I
you
don't
in
care
love?
What it does to me.
Are you in love?
The format?
Yeah, the format.
There's a band called The Format. Okay. I'm quoting lyrics left and right. Okay, yeah. So.
Wait, but are you in love right now?
I'm in love, yeah.
Oh, dope.
I'm in love with the stripper. Zero, da, da, da. Okay, for real. What?
Dude, fun fact. God damn it.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's fine.
That's like my song with my girlfriend. We love singing that song.
Oh, shit. You love singing it?
Yeah,
can you sing it now?
I'm in love with the stripper. She knows and she knows.
I love it. We're right. off to a banging
yeah,
start.
So, Jeremy, explain how
half.
It actually works. But hold on. While you explain how it works, let me put on a little background music.
All right, cool.
All right.
So, oh, wow. You're really bringing the mic right up to the... Okay. So, this is how Crashing the Boards works. Well, we look up a topic to discuss. Well, actually, we... Oh, there's the music. There's a...
Damn, little mama.
Okay.
How's it work?
Wait, I'm just waiting for the beat to drop before
Why
I explain.
Just start explaining.
I can't.
Chris vamp a little bit with him. He's struggling.
Well, I'm in love with the fun facts. She know it. We riding, looking up facts on Reddit, and we crying, scrolling on TikTok and learning some new things. Oh my God, gonna discuss it with Chris. And Alexi.
All right. Fuck a round of applause for Jeremy. All right. Wow. Holy shit. I think we're going to get a performance out of this today.
A little confused with what we learned last week. Yeah. That is a separate segment.
Chris, why don't you explain the format?
So basically the way it works is we crash the boards, which means we find forums or message boards that are related to production, post-production, photography, whatever. We find a couple that are interesting to us. And then we do a little roundtable with it.
Roundtable discussion.
Yeah, you'll present your topic. Yeah. You'll give your piece. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see what everyone else has to say
yeah,
about it.
The floor will be open for contradiction, questions galore, everything. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, sure. I'll kick this one off. I thought this was kind of an interesting topic. Maybe Jerm can relate to this more than you and I, but... This comes from Good While It Lasted on r/editors. Found some of my work on someone else's reel. Is this more common than I know? And it basically just goes on to say that he was trying to connect with people on LinkedIn, different potential post houses, and they recognized a commercial that they had cut. It was on someone else's reel and another one on a director's website. And in both cases, they claim that they, you know, were the main editors or whatever on that piece. And they were basically just asking the community, like, how would you react to that? You know, their first reaction was to call them out publicly. They talked themselves out of it because, you know,
that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
To call them out publicly is literally like it's mole type behavior. I've been watching The Mole.
Okay.
So they usually say like it's a mole behavior, you know.
Okay.
It's fucked up though.
Molly.
Yeah, I mean it's probably the wrong answer to something that's bad, but at the same time you're kind of getting your shit stolen.
Wait. So you're against calling out if you know who stole it and you call them out? You're
like if
that.
I went to germcohen.com and you had a video that I edited and you claimed you edited it, I'm not going to like go off on you on Twitter or on Instagram or some shit. I would just like email you and be like, yo,
yeah.
Or I actually edit.
But then what if they don't respond?
Then it's not a problem. Like I don't care. Like there's enough work to go around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Personally,
it's weird.
It's definitely weird. But
anyone who's lying about their portfolio, whatever medium of art, and you're claiming it's yours and then you're getting work from that, you're getting work from someone else's work.
Yeah,
I'd be pretty ticked off.
I mean, I would probably be pissed as well. Yeah. I'd probably be pissed as well, but I'm just saying I wouldn't like immediately go to the streets. So yeah, maybe I would hit them up first. If
go to
they
the
don't,
streets isn't call someone out on the internet.
Right. Go to the digital streets. I was gonna say
go to the metaverse.
Shout it out in the metaverse. Look, my point is this. If I hit them up and they didn't respond, then I'd probably think back on the project and think of who the real decision maker was, and I would just like maybe hit them. I don't know, man. It just like it there's a level. It kind of depends on who it is, you know what I'm saying?
There's nuance to it. There's factors, there's variables there. So let me give you an example. Let's say can we bring up some real life clients that you guys have?
Depending.
Okay,
yeah, why
so
don't
I'm
you say
some fake clients.
Okay,
let's say you guys edited like the NBA finals, Portland Trails Blazers versus
like edited like a hype reel or some shit.
Yeah. And it's like going on national broadcast and stuff. And it's dope. It's like you guys put blood, sweat, tears, and other
other forms of body fluids in it.
We pissed on it. We did all this. It was crazy.
Just like all the body fluids in this project.
Okay.
Blood, sweat, shit.
Lots of time, lots of energy.
Why is this hard drive all wet?
You know what? And let's say on top of that, even though it was this huge project, let's say you guys were even underpaid on top of that, but you just did it for the portfolio to get more work.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Then you find out another editing house in Brooklyn that's like a direct competitor happens to like just, they just start and they claim, they put their logo on top of that, put that on their site, and then you see they get work from that.
But was that what's happening in this scenario? Like, I don't think that's exactly it. Like, who's to say that this person didn't like,
who's to say?
The edit went onwards and that other person who posted it worked on it further in a different way. You know what I mean? Like, they could have re-edited it, reformatted it for social or something. And technically, they edited it, right? Like,
that's kind of like a little bit better, but it's still shady. And in the case, you know, he mentions that the director of the spot, has it on his portfolio. And he just said that he was the editor. I don't know why the director would do that. But I mean, that you could, I would dismiss that. I would chalk that up as, you know, like they worked on that piece. So that's theirs as well.
Yeah.
But the other editor, that would definitely bother me. Your example would piss me off the most, though. If another post house was claiming our work, then I'd be like, I would definitely contact them and try to resolve it and like ultimately send a cease and desist if we had to, because I think that part is a lot shittier than just like an individual editor taking it. But the other part of that is, you're kind of right, like it's possible that they did a very similar spot with the same footage. It depends, like, is it exactly your cut?
Yeah.
Because then, you know, that could bother me. And even, like, I guess I'm slightly guilty of this. I have one, like, it's like 2 or 3 seconds of my reel, but I was the assistant editor on that. Nowhere on my reel do I claim I was the main editor. Like, I don't list my roles on everything, or maybe I do.
But that one, it's in there.
It's in there, yeah.
And at the end of the thing, it says you're an editor. So people would naturally assume, his reel is an editor reel. This is in there for 2 seconds. He edited this.
But it's also weird because, like, I was the assistant editor, but I also did a cut on it. You know, like, I set everything up and I did my first pass, and I used those shots in that sequence, like, in that order.
The way that I look at it is like this. This is kind of where I've landed on it. If you're putting that shit on your website, the full piece, it's in your portfolio, quote unquote, that's fucked up.
That's different.
But that's not cool. Can't do that. Right. But if you're using a little snippet of a thing you worked on in your reel, I think that's totally kosher, because the idea of a reel is that it tells its own story.
Yeah.
The reel is supposed to kind of signify like your style, right? I didn't work on everything in my reel. I used stock footage at the beginning of my reel because the shots look cool. They're all like have the same matching top down motion, and they represent 4 different things that we work on: lifestyle, food, tech, sports. And it's cut in a rhythm with a certain idea, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I went and shot that stock footage. Just edited it.
The way that we personally look at reels, I think not all editors do. A lot of editors just like put different things that they've worked on back to back as like a portfolio reel. And for us, I think we try to tell a story with it. And it's not just what we've worked on, but we try to show what we can do, you know, within that edit. And I think that's part of it.
Yeah. You ever had that happen if someone stole your shit?
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking. My mouth is the numbest it's ever been in my life right now. Like, I'm just touching it right now, and it feels like a piece of wood.
Oh yeah,
feels
yeah.
Like a piece of wood.
Yo, we should. There's a tattoo parlor like right next door. Let's go get your lip pierced. You won't even feel it.
Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
Yeah, that would go wild.
You never had someone steal your shit?
I have. I feel like it's been so long though. I've had people steal photos, claim that they photo that it was mine on like
Instagram. I was going to say, it probably happens a lot on Instagram. People just accounts just repost it without giving you credit.
It's like always pretty obvious, and then you just report it and they're usually gone.
Okay.
But I'm trying to remember, I'm trying to think of like certain instances where, I don't know, I think it's more of an issue right now actually in the NFT world.
Yeah.
There's been people pretending to be other artists or like artists that aren't even on in NFTs at all. Mm-hmm. And so someone just pops up, like it's happened recently. I forget with what artist, but someone just knew of this artist and just popped on Twitter and claimed they were them and then got a lot of traction and then came out with a collection and then people bought the NFTs from this.
Was it a collection of like original work or did they just like rip their shit and remint it basically?
It was the artist's work, but this random person minted it without the artist knowing and everyone think, you know, they scammed all these people. Damn. And then on top of that, this person like made a lot of money from getting like selling all this art, and to make it look less scammy, they bought other people's art.
Right. They embedded themselves.
Yeah.
In the system.
They participated in the community.
Exactly.
Fuck the community.
Yeah. It's tough. Good for them for making money, I guess. But
interesting where that stuff will go. I don't know. Where that type of issue will get resolved. Hopefully it will.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to keep happening. Yeah. I mean,
I think it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
You think so? I don't think so. With any new technology, it's like really scammy. It can be really scammy at the beginning, but I think it'll get safer and safer.
Yeah, I just think, you're right. It might. I mean, who knows, right? We never know. We'll check back in 10 years.
Okay.
Promise? Yeah. Come back on in 10 years.
Sure, sure, sure.
Chris is about to get a notification on his Google Calendar. Record with Germ 2032. What the fuck?
No, by then he'll be using a different type of calendar, like
the Gregorian calendar. Is that what we use now? I have no fucking idea. Yeah, I think that one's all wrapped up, right?
Yeah, I mean, the most I would do ultimately is just like any producers or directors that I'm close with, I just let them know, hey, this person steals work, don't hire them.
Yeah.
Damn. See, I feel like I wouldn't want to like...
I mean, in my personal network, I wouldn't want that person getting work using my, like you said, there's enough work to go around, but if they're literally, you know...
Maybe I would...
Applying to the same jobs...
I would probably also hit up Matt King and just ask him what he would do. Honestly, like I probably would. I'd probably be like, yo, Matt, have you ever had this happen? What the fuck am I supposed to do? And then Matt would probably be like, you got to sue him. I'd be like, no, never mind. I'm out. Germ, you got one?
Yeah, I do. This is kind of a timely one considering it's November 1st, the day after Halloween. Did you know that pumpkins can actually be poisonous?
What the fuck are you doing? You're not paying attention to the format?
I don't have a message board to look at. I just went
on
Reddit.
What have you been doing here? We started this podcast 30 minutes late. What the fuck were you doing this whole time? You didn't pick a thing to talk about?
I'm unprepared. I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
We were talking about football.
Jesus Christ. All right, don't worry, Jeremy. I got a couple extra ones. So.
Come back to me.
All right, yeah, I'll come back to you. I'll go. All right, so this one is... I like this one. I thought this one was good. It's an interesting question that, you know, I think I cared about this when I first started and now I don't. It says, do you wear a suit to an interview in this business? I don't know who this person was who posted it because my computer's being weird. Their name's just not popping up. But they said, I'm trying to get my first job as a video editor, intern, or assistant to an assistant and have no idea what people wear. I talked to a friend who is a reality TV editor, and he said initially he wore suits but kept getting made fun of, so he stopped. His first ever interview, I guess, is a suit the way to go?
Well, so you used to like dress up, right? When you first started, not in a suit, but like a button up and like,
I wore a button up. Yeah. Yeah. I'd wear like a button up. I tried to look presentable. I wore a button up shirt and like, you know, nice shoes.
And
yeah. I wore a button up shirt and like nice shoes, like dress shoes. And you know, that is what I wore for the first like week that I ever did actual jobs in an office.
Yeah.
And I just kind of noticed that no one else was wearing that. So I stopped.
I think it's dependent on like where you live. You know, like I think in LA and New York, it's really not expected. But if you're at like an ad agency, you know, in some mid-sized market in like Charlotte or fucking Cincinnati, then like you might be expected to.
It all just depends on. I think it all just depends on who you work for.
I think it's mostly a no, though.
I can't
imagine like going to interview photography related or video editing related and them expecting
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's just like not wearing that stuff.
For our corner of the industry, definitely not. I mean, I know when I first went to a job here, I was like living out of a hotel. So I only had a few clothes. Like I'm pretty sure I just like wore a hoodie and a jacket and I looked like everyone else there and it was fine. Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I think it just depends on where, right? Like if you're interviewing with like, you know, if it's a corporate videography position at like JP Morgan or some shit, you should probably show up wearing like a button up shirt or something.
Well,
but if you're coming into like some random ass ad agency that like you go to their website and they look chill, that you can probably just wear.
If you're doing an interview in Bushwick in general, is there a single spot in Bushwick that you need a suit for?
In Bushwick? No, I don't think so. Yeah. I personally don't think so. But you know what? It might be like if you're interviewing for like a company that does like fashion videos, you might need to dress a certain way.
Sure.
Like you might need to wear like hip shit. You might need to look like fashionable.
It'll help you get the job probably.
That's what I'm saying.
But you got to like not try too hard at the same time. You got to like. Yeah.
I mean, that's I never try too hard.
Well, you almost had like a corporate job and you would have had to dress up every day, right? You would have had to wear a
button. I think they did have a dress code. Yeah, yeah. I probably wouldn't have. I probably would have worn like a black T-shirt or something like that. Just because like the way that was set up was we would have been in the back in the studio all day. I'm not going to be wearing a fucking button up shirt if I'm in the studio moving cameras and lights around. It's ridiculous.
So that's one thing I'll say. We've done a few like on-site edits for different tech conferences. And for that, we're usually expected to wear like production blacks or something like that. And you can get away. You don't have to wear slacks. You can just wear like dark jeans and either a black button up or like a black polo. And you can usually get away with wearing a hat too. Like, you know, they're not that, you know, strict about it. It's just try to look decent, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, most of the time, like I said, we're like holed away in some random ass corner in the dark. So like,
yeah, sees us.
Yeah. We're not like the ones being presented. It's just if you happen to scamper out onto the floor on accident and you're caught. People need to be like, oh, that's not some loser. That's a fucking working class professional.
So if you want to play it safe, though, wear a suit.
If you want to.
Just in case.
I low-key think if you wear a suit, to the wrong interview, you're immediately going to lose, like not get the job.
I mean, it just depends. I mean.
If someone showed up to a job interview here wearing a suit.
I would think they're a little green.
My first thing, I would be like, what? Like literally when that person left, I would be like, why was that guy wearing a suit? like, not that they wouldn't get the job, because who knows? It just depends on their skill set. Pontificate.
Yeah, what if someone comes for an interview here and they roll in, not with a suit, but with a fedora?
Honestly.
What are the chances you hire this person?
I would rather
Would you judge them based on their choice of hat?
I need to
Chris
know.
Chris has a fedora at his desk.
It's a Panama hat.
Sure.
It's a Panama hat.
All right.
That's not a fedora. That's a Panama hat. See? I can see it.
Panama papers.
I did wear, I don't know, it wasn't a fedora. It was like a little derby hat for Halloween. But it also had a helicopter coming out of it.
No, that was fine.
No, but would you wear a fedora to a job interview?
I don't think I've ever worn a fedora in my life. I did see someone walking around Bushwick yesterday in a 10-gallon hat, and If
Doug Dimmadome?
It might have been Doug Dimmadome.
I love Doug Dimmadome. Owner of the Dimsdale Dimmadome.
That's right.
It's literally way, way better than Dan Reeves. Or what's his name?
Dan Rather?
Dan Commander's owner.
Snyder.
Snyder. Yeah. Sorry, not Dan Reeves. Dan Snyder.
I always thought Doug Dimmadome was supposed to be like Jerry Jones or something. Just because he seems very Texas.
That's a great point. Yeah. That's probably who it's based on. Yeah. Look, to answer your question, if someone showed up wearing a fedora, same thing. I get the same reaction from me. When they left, I'd be like, why is that person wearing a fedora? But like, it just depends on if they're good. Like if they showed up and they were like really good, I'd be like, damn, we might bite the bullet on this one and just have to live with their fedora choices.
One of our old freelancers who used to work at the other office, I'm pretty sure she would wear fedoras. Like, I don't remember her ever wearing one, but it seems like it'd be
in
her
fedora energy. Big fedora energy.
Big fedora energy BFE. For sure.
She had like, well, cause she, I mean, whatever. She like is in anime and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like fedora and anime is like a Venn diagram.
Yeah, that's very
They cross over, you know,
quite a bit. I hear that.
Like, you're either into anime or like you're like an 80-year-old ex mobster or some shit like that.
Yeah, I think for the fedora, I wouldn't immediately discount them, but in my head, I would take them a little less seriously. But
Which is, once again, it's funny. Same thing with the suit, and that's ironic. Because the suit is being worn to take you seriously. And if you wear a suit into the job interview, I'm going to be like, nah.
Like that. Well, I mean, if you look good in a fedora, like, that's the thing. It's hard to look good in a fedora, but if you pull it off, then I'm not gonna be too mad at it. Like, like if it looks like it fits you, all
if
right.
You had the combo, the fedora and the suit.
I mean, they usually go hand in hand, right?
Came in with a fedora, a suit, and a cigar. I'd be like, would you like to buy this company? You obviously mean business.
Walks in and says, "What's up, Doc?"
What's up, Doc? Okay, Germ, did you have enough time to pick something, or do you want to just take my other?
I'll take your others. Okay, yeah,
I'm gonna hand it over to you. Cool. I don't know why my computer's being so slow, but it is. But that's it. Cool, you can read it and you kind of skim through it out loud if you want, but maybe you know, go for it.
Okay, this is a post from Intelligent Signature. Shared edits between Mac and PC. I'm already getting stressed out.
Oh.
Hey all, I have a Windows PC and a MacBook from work. I primarily edit on my PC, but recently my wife has also gotten into video editing.
What is this, Borat?
And she uses the same PC. I also have a MacBook Pro from work, and I would like to use that to edit while my wife is using the PC. And this is very redundant. Wait, okay. While my wife is using the PC and then pick up later on the PC again, is there any way to make this seamless without needing to export/import each time I switch devices? I use DaVinci for editing, and I know there is a project manager server that helps with this, but it doesn't sync files. I was looking for a solution.
I think we get the gist of the fucking question. Yeah. I don't know, man. Run parallels and like fucking have two. That doesn't really help either, though, I guess. I don't know. It shouldn't be that hard, though, to share edits if you're using the same fucking program. Make sure your drives are formatted as XFAT.
But are they're saying that they both want to be in the project at the same time, one on Mac and one on PC?
No, they want to be able to
switch from one to the other. Yeah, I mean, for me, I've done that plenty of times because I have a Windows PC at home and we work on Mac at the office. Granted, these days I mostly just use my MacBook if I need to do something at home. But sometimes I need that beefiness of my PC, and it's super simple. Like the worst part, like I have a, what do they call it? Mac Drive. And then I think there's a second program that's really popular.
Yeah.
That basically you don't even have to format it as XFAT. You can format it as Mac OS journaled. And if you have this program on Windows, it'll read just fine and it'll work just fine. The biggest issue is just like getting reused to the different OS and the workflow, and you know, the keys are slightly different. That's really the biggest hang up. So, I don't know why this person's having so much trouble.
Well, I think that they probably did that thing where they just go ahead and write a thing and ask a question to a group of people rather than just Googling it.
Sure, sure.
But yes, I think it is quite easy. Mainly the reason that I had picked this one wasn't to try to actually get them a solution. It was more to ask about your experience in like kind of working between different formats, and has it ever been frustrating?
I'm like a Mac guy, Apple guy.
Yeah. Have you ever had a thing that where like a client asks for a certain type? I guess you're just delivering PNGs mostly.
I think, but this question, it's similar but different. No, it's like kind of unrelated, but it just makes me think. I don't know if you want to answer this first, but this is going to another topic.
That's fine.
I think I'm done. I think I'm going to switch.
To what?
I'm done with Premiere. I think I might be done with Premiere.
You're switching to Resolve?
Well, I don't know what I want to switch to, but I think it might be Final Cut. Here's my issue. Because I've been editing a Premiere so long and I love it, except for the fact that lately when I make videos in these past couple years, I'm often combining iPhone footage and Sony footage. That's why this is making me think of it like PC and Mac. This is like it makes me think of Sony and iPhone footage because I'm combining them both. Or sometimes it's even just iPhone footage and Premiere, just something about it. It, whenever you import iPhone footage, at least for me, it always like
it looks crackly and green.
It looks crackly, grainy, and it fucks up the colors. Like yeah. It just does not. 100%. And then combine that with Sony footage, and then your whole video is all fucked up. Yeah, and that it drives me crazy. And then sometimes it looks good in Premiere, and then you export it, and something different. And then you have to do this thing where you like oversaturate it in Premiere, and then export it, and then it looks normally saturated.
Oh yeah, and the gamma correction.
Yeah,
or
all this fucking bullshit I don't want to deal with anymore. It's like, why can't this? This has to be simpler. There has to be a simpler way. But I am so used to Premiere and it's just feels like the back of my hand. Yeah. So it's just like, do I want to learn a whole new editing program right now? And like the editing I do is pretty simple. Like my main thing that I just like doing is I do a lot of keyframes and just simple cuts. I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm just messing around with the audio a little bit, doing keyframes, cuts, putting photos on top of my videos and PNG files. Like nothing too crazy. I'm not trying to like learn like, I don't know, DaVinci seems a little.
I think you'll probably, whatever you switch to, you're probably going to learn it within like one week.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's just
they all work roughly the same.
Right. Yeah. I just gotta do it. I think the main thing is I want it to be the quickest workflow while also like maintaining being able to put iPhone footage and Sony footage in there and easily maintaining the quality of the footage
and
the colors.
Final Cut actually does make a lot of sense for your workflow because you work with so much iPhone footage.
I think as long as he's not working with other people.
If you need to collaborate, Final Cut's probably not the way to go. But if you're soup to nuts with your own video, then you're probably fine.
Yeah. What about nuts? What'd you say? I never heard that reference.
Oh, really?
Soup to nuts?
Soup to nuts. Yeah. It basically means if you are handling a project from start to finish. Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
It comes from like back in the old days, motherfuckers used to dessert on nuts. Pause. But they would... Like it would go soup is the first meal, nuts is the last meal. Or like the last course, I should say. Yeah, the last course.
Okay, interesting. So nuts used to be a dessert.
Derived from the description of a full course dinner.
I heard about this term for the first time yesterday. Speaking of terms, I heard of this term called almond moms.
What is that?
Moms that give like almonds as dessert for their kids instead of
why is this
candy
on today.com 7 days ago? Why is this trending?
Almond moms?
Yeah.
Right?
That's how we heard of it.
It's from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Maybe these almond moms know where I want to be.
That's ours, Weezer.
I wonder what the correlation is between almond moms and soup to nuts.
When I say Weezer, I'm not talking about Carl Weezer either.
Oh. Jimmy!
It's my best impression.
Well, it's good. It's good. It's solid.
I will say though, yeah, if you're gonna use Final Cut, bro, you're not. Oh, bro, Final Cut, bro. You're not gonna. Be able to collab with anyone.
Yo, okay. Final Cut, bro, is a good character.
Honestly,
for TikTok,
That's pretty good shit. It's probably taken, but I think he can be in the Christmas special.
You think so?
Yeah, there's gonna be a Sizzle Row Christmas special this year.
Dude, should have been.
I gotta write it.
What were you guys for Halloween? Because you should have been a Final Cut Pro.
I was a spider.
Inspector Gadget.
You were a power outlet. That's what I heard.
Outlet. You were a power outlet.
I was.
That's hilarious.
The plug.
I was.
You were the plug.
So
did you have weed on you?
Look, one thing I think we crashed enough boards. One thing I want.
I got one last one.
You got last one, Guilty.
Let's crash one more.
I just thought this was an interesting topic because I think I've touched on this a lot before and we can go brief on it, but it's from 5 days ago.
Boxer on it.
It's on r/editors. How many video editors retire as editors? And they're saying they're just a little bit curious.
Alexi's shaking his head
because
you saw like everything go through my eyes, and I felt like
I feel like you do not want to retire as a video editor. I could see it in your
fuck no. But wait, what were you saying?
They're kind of saying that like they remember in the 90s, early 2000s when they broke into the industry, a video or film editor was like a fixed professional position from beginning to end. You'd start as like a low apprentice, work your way up. Eventually, you're a senior editor. You kind of like work as that until you're retire on the cushier gigs. And these days, because the accessibility has changed so much, you know, everyone has access to these programs and they're all learning it, and you know, younger guys are coming in.
Prices are crashing at a breakneck pace.
People know downhill. Like everyone knows After Effects and Cinema 4D, and they do like web design, you know, all these different things. And you know, people like it's I see it as well. I don't see myself retiring as an editor in 30 years. I don't think I can.
I don't think it's sustainable.
It's not sustainable. I don't think I can keep up with it. And really, do I want to be 65, like learning new fucking animation techniques or whatever?
I mean, I think the reason that it used to be fixed is because things moved at a bit of a slow. God, this is some old man shit. But because they moved at a slower pace, whereas like people understood, and technology was limited, right? So it was like it's going to take a certain amount of time to create this thing, and you are allotted your time. Now, almost, I find that there's a majority of projects. Maybe we just get these projects, but a majority of projects are like, we need it now. How quickly can you do it? We need it now. And it's like, do you though? You know? But the thing is, there's people who will churn shit out real quick, immediately, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still not how it used to be.
I mean,
which, whatever. That's good as well. Like I said, it makes more work. So there's ups and downs.
It's really how much you care about editing for me. It's like, how badly do you want this to continue to be your profession? Like, do you want to keep learning the new techniques all the time and the new programs and keeping up with it and still like cutting away? Or do you want to eventually move into like a post-producer role? Or do you want to become a director? You know, like most people kind of get burnt out on a specific part of like a specific job on a career path after like 5 or 10 years. Like, you don't really want to be doing that same thing. You want to maybe do something related to it, but you want to be able to improve yourself and move on up with your skill set.
So if you guys don't retire as video editors, what do you want to retire as? / what if you weren't working in the video editing world right now, what's your next move?
If I couldn't do anything video related at all.
Yeah, not video related at all.
Does it have to rely on our current skill sets, or is this like dream?
No,
like,
I don't have
another skill set.
Yeah, shoot for the star.
Oh, like literally, like, it could be anything you
what
want?
What would you enjoy the most, like give you the best quality of life while also you'd also be able to make a living doing it?
Okay,
like,
so it has to be somewhat realistic.
Somewhat realistic.
I could just say like own a sandwich shop and live in a penthouse.
That's right. I mean,
you could own a sandwich shop.
Dude, long
yeah, but that's
boys.
A lot of fucking work. Yeah. Stop.
I'm telling How's this idea not fucking died yet? Dude, Long Boys is embedded within me.
No, I don't know the answer, Jerm. I don't know. I don't have an answer, honestly. Like, because this is kind of the only skill I have. So I would have to work. I guess if I wasn't in video, I would just move to audio.
I would probably have to go back to school or something. I would maybe, honestly, it'd probably be coding of some sort, because that seems to like, you can make decent money on it. You can learn it within a couple of years and start getting jobs. And I know computers, and like, I mean, in After Effects, you have to do some coding for certain expressions. So like, I have the basics, and I could probably, you know, it seems like a terrible thing to do though.
I would,
like,
I,
just getting lost in code. I'd get such a headache.
I wouldn't want to do that. I couldn't look at code all day, but I would do audio.
Yeah.
I would like just get a job as a podcast producer somewhere and just like make podcasts pretty fucking easy. Turn on the mics. That's it. Hit record.
Yeah.
Know? Make sure they're not peaking. If you're recording 32-bit float, they can peak and you can pull it back down. So it's, you know, it's fail safe.
If I could stay in the industry somehow, I would probably just move into producing of some sort. Like, I don't know how.
Sports, probably, right?
Sports, yeah, that probably makes the most sense. I mean, really, for me, it would just depend on the jobs available and like who would hire me, because like I'm not really a producer. I do a lot of post-producing, but
you know, you're a Ted Lasso type. I could see you coming in and coaching a team and being the next Ted Lasso of the Florida Panthers.
I'm just a video editor teaching hockey teams. Like,
unbelievable.
I'd be like, crash the boards. They'd be like, you mean the net? And honestly, I'd be like, no.
Tell me that boring. Chris does not have Ted Lasso energy.
Chris has Ted Lasso energy.
I have
true.
A Ted Lasso
That's
hat
true.
Somewhere.
I have, if we're talking Ted Lasso, I have Roy Keane energy, whatever his fucking
name
is.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who's supposed to be Roy Keane.
Yeah.
But
I can see it. I can see it.
Roy Keane's savage in real life. That guy was a fucking mess. He was a monster.
In real life? Like, not in the show?
Well, so the guy in that show is based off of a real player named Roy Keane.
Oh, really?
He used to play for Manchester United, and Roy Keane is a fucking hard man, bro. He would break people's fucking legs.
Damn.
He's like everyone respects the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would never have wanted to play against him. That guy probably is fucking, he'll probably break you in half.
I was reading the other day about, I think is his name
Jamie Vardy. Vardy, yeah. He like smokes a cigarette and drinks like five Red Bulls before every game.
He drinks a lot of Coca-Cola and shit too. Well, he has a crazy story because he actually kind of was like a rags to riches where he came up from the lower leagues and just like was discovered, and he just kept, every time he moved up to a different team, he just kept excelling and kept excelling. And yeah, he's kind of a fucking legend. Let me say something. We just crashed the boards. They've been crashed. They're all over the fucking floor now. Like, we shacked those boards. I wanted to ask you, Germ, about an upcoming podcast that you're working on. You want to talk about this at all or no?
Yeah,
you
want to
tell the people the story and what how it came to you.
It's not out yet, but we're really excited about it. It is called Doom Mates. That's instead of roommates, it's Doom Mates. And it's New York City roommate horror stories. And there's so many of them out there. There's so many juicy ones. It's so relatable to so many of us. And these stories need to be told. They're not told anywhere besides at bars. And you only know of it, you know, if you're a friend, you know, just out of, more people need to hear these stories. They're too good.
Yeah.
And,
Some of them are legitimately fucking insane.
There's some fucking crazy stories, and that's what we're doing on Doom Mates. I have my own story, and so many of my friends have their own story. So just imagine all the New Yorkers out there that have their, and it's evergreen stuff. It's always happening. There's a crazy roommate story happening
right
while
now.
We're sitting here right now.
Yeah.
That will eventually
probably in this neighborhood.
Definitely honestly, in like, this neighborhood.
Maybe even in this building. Yeah. Wasn't someone shaving in the bathroom the other day? Yeah. Like, maybe they're the crazy roommate. Right?
So, the crazy Doom Mate. So that's the podcast coming soon. We've recorded a couple episodes so far, and they're fucking fire.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. I heard there might be some like shoulder content, maybe
TikTok stuff.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah, there will be.
A visual element.
I'm co-hosting the podcast with Caleb Simpson, who is also very passionate about telling the story of Doom Mates.
Sure,
and he creates content also in this hemisphere of roommate apartment related.
He's the guy who does that shit where it's like, how much do you pay for your apartment?
Yeah, yeah.
$500 or whatever. Can I get a tour?
Yeah, he is that dude. He's a great guy. He's really I love how excited he is about this idea, and I think together we make we're a pretty good match for interviewing these people and asking them, having a little banter with their Doom Mate stories. So that's what we're doing on that podcast coming soon. I'm really excited about it. And, you know,
I like seeing you fired up about stuff. It's good because when you're excited about it, it means it's going to get done. You know
I think, I'm just, you know, I have the nervous jitters before anything starts. You're kind of a little scared, but I really think once it's out there, more and more people will be drawn to it just because it's like, we like the juicy shit. It's like on par with true crime, except not necessarily people dying.
Yeah, it's not necessarily criminal.
And it's and not as problematic, I'd say.
I'm excited to hear it. I think it's going to be good. Well, I've heard it, but I'm excited to release it. I'm excited to work on it. It seems like it's going to be really fun.
If you're listening to this and you have a new mate story, or you know someone with a crazy roommate story, holler at us.
DM Germ.
DM me.
Right. There's going to be emails soon that people can send stuff to. But for now, just DM Germ.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask before we get to the famous segment that everyone knows and loves, you said something about a visual element. Okay. So I'm going to bring this up in the first half.
Sure.
At this point in the show, we'll have talked about it.
Okay.
But I would like to know Germ's opinion on this. Sizzle Reel YouTube channel where we post video, like this shit goes on video.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, I already know how you feel about it from the first half of the episode. Remember we already recorded that.
Yeah, I know.
It was an incredible segment.
Yeah, really, really,
it was really fucking
solid
good
stuff.
But what do you think?
I mean, if you guys don't mind like doing a little extra work, I say why not?
Coob was saying that he said people would like would watch it.
Really?
Him and Bliss are both like,
I mean,
people would watch it.
You guys both have great personalities, so it would be better to see that.
I got multiple.
I mean,
some are great, some are.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to, I think it'd be fun to watch you guys because you're different.
Yeah, I'm different. Yeah, I'm different.
This is funny to me because like a year ago, Alexi was like, let's get rid of the video element on your podcast. And now he's like, let's bring a video element to our podcast.
No. If you remember from the first segment, I wasn't necessarily saying that. I was just saying, oh, we were exploring the idea.
Yeah, just the idea.
Because when I was talking to Kuba about it last night, he started putting this idea in my head. And him and Bliss were like, yeah. And then he showed me this one podcast. He's like, it's literally called The Editing Podcast. They have 9 episodes and they already have 30,000 subscribers.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And I was just
we're so much better, probably, maybe.
Well, I think they had it for like big YouTubers. But like,
oh, that shit's so lame.
Well, don't judge it until you try it, bro. Why are you immediately going to be knocking these motherfuckers?
Dude,
we need to use them to help us grow, bro.
I don't fuck with the YouTube editors.
I do like this like editor friendly fire that's happening though. Yeah. Look, here's what I'm trying to say. He put this idea in my head and I was like, he was like, it's like pretty easy as long as you're consistent. And I was like, bro, do you know how long it takes me to edit sizzle reel? He was like, I don't know. Like, I was like, guess, like from when I get up from this seat, how much time is done? He goes, in hours. I was like, sure. He said, 4 hours. I said, 10 minutes. Literally, I get up, I go over there, I have all the sound effects, I just drop everything in and hit export.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It takes me 10 minutes to do this. That's why a little bit extra work like that is, it's not a little bit, it's a lot.
It's a lot. That would be like, what, 2 hours or more every time?
I said, what if I like just set up one camera angle and like we run the mics into it somehow? And he was like, well, he's like, it's probably gonna be better if you do 3 and light it. And I was like, see, Coop, that's
it's just never gonna happen with us.
I told him, if you wanna help produce it, I'm down if you wanna help.
Yeah, but.
And then you can have like the majority of the money that comes out of it.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much money is gonna come out of YouTube. But that's what he said. He was like, it could be a good revenue stream that's like consistent.
That'd be cool.
So whatever, that's the idea. We'll
110
explore.
Episodes in, I'd love to make $20 off of it. More than 20. I think we're at 18 or 19.
We've made $26.
Okay. He hides the numbers from me. I don't get any of that money.
You guys are like, I don't either.
You know, most of our money is made because of Ask Not Me Anything.
That's true.
Look, I'll show you guys right now. Here's the numbers. $22 earned all time. All right.
Woo.
All right, there it is. How's it feel? You want some of that? You want $11?
No. Right. Once it gets to 50, I'll take 25.
I'll buy you some McDonald's, bro.
Bro.
All right. Let's get to the segment everyone knows and loves. This is what we learned last week.
What we learned last week.
Boom.
Boom.
Yo, I would love to see you. I just thought of this now, very random, but I would love to see your video editing skills make the dopest edit for a game of Bino.
Oh.
Like shoot and edit. Like we probably just like to make it look so sick.
I'm good.
You should like a series on TikTok of making really mundane things look sick on video editing.
That would be like pretty cool.
Too much work, not enough payoff.
Yeah, I don't care enough to do that work. I don't like work.
What'd you learn? Or I can go, or you can go.
I learned that on the way back from the moon, Apollo 11 astronauts had to go through customs and
what?
Do a general declaration of, you know, like what they're traveling with, what they came back with.
Just so for fun?
I think it was mostly a tongue-in-cheek thing, yeah. But it includes like cargo, moon rock and moon dust samples. Entered Honolulu Airport, whatever. And it's kind of funny to see like Colonel Edwin E. Aldrin Jr., you know, just Neil A. Armstrong and their signatures. It's just silly.
That's wild. Like, yeah. Oh my God. It's kind of dystopian.
Yeah.
Return from the moon and go through customs. Hell.
Yeah.
Wow. I wrote medieval rope beds. The saying sleep tight comes from the old days when in like the medieval times, they would use ropes as their like box spring almost. Like, you know, how we use like wood slats. Whoa, or whatever. Yeah. So they would use ropes, and sleep tight was like
hopefully
your ropes are tied very tightly so you can have a comfortable sleep. So
wow.
Sleep tight.
Yeah,
there you go.
Interesting. I've never thought of that one.
Now you know.
Good night, sleep tight. I thought people just said it because it rhymed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was thinking about, you know,
I thought how kids people wanted me to be cool in my sleep.
Sleep like, tight.
Tight, yo.
Right. That makes sense too. I think about how we still say hang up the phone. Kids nowadays, they've never used they won't understand what hanging up the phone means.
Yeah, absolutely. Or dial the phone. I mean, you're not really, because before it was a round dial. And now.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That's nuts. Yeah, nah, man. Technology, bro. Shit is wild. This is basically a tech podcast, except with like two, you know, I don't even know. We're just Joe Schmoes, you know, we're just doing our fucking thing. Wait, yeah. What'd you learn? You can finally get to the part of the show that you prepared for.
Yeah, I flip-flopped them. I got a different one now.
Okay.
Can I do two? Or
yes,
can
you
I
can do two. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, first one. Did you know that butterflies taste with their feet?
I actually learned that recently. Yeah, so when a butterfly lands on you, they're tasting you.
Yeah. Okay. Nuts. Well, I guess you already knew that. So
well, that's okay.
It's like, what if we had tongues for legs? Tongues for arms?
Oh my god!
Okay. Nightmare fuel. Well,
okay. That's
a fedora ass comment. Anyone who says nightmare fuel probably wears a fedora. Facts.
Yes.
Facts.
Okay. This one's for people who care a lot about their skincare routine, like Alexi. Types.
It's about pumpkins. Where's the pumpkins?
No.
Oh my god!
Did you know that tears aren't good for your skin?
No. So I should stop crying.
Apparently, the pH is different from your skin, so long exposure to tears is actually bad for it. It won't do much damage. Don't worry though.
It's because they're salty, right?
Is that what just wait.
No, because the pH is different, bro.
Because it's salty.
I mean, maybe.
It's got to be.
I mean.
What's the pumpkin one, man? You made me write down pumpkin.
Some pumpkins are poisonous.
I was dominating the segment.
I was ashamed, so I put the pumpkin fact away. Let me try to find it.
I like you teased it up top.
Jaren's going with the quantity.
I mean, it was just that pumpkins are poisonous. I'm just trying to find the details of
it. That's where the people are here for the deets.
I mean, I've heard that there's cyanide in peach pits. And
is there really?
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to be chewing on peach pits?
Definitely not.
Holy shit.
I mean, I don't think there's enough to kill you, but
you could
also choke on it. I don't know.
Well, chew it well enough.
I found a better one, but.
Oh my God.
You need the pumpkin one? I like this.
Okay,
give me one last one.
You get one last one.
I feel like Alexi already knows this one, though, but it's mildly interesting.
Okay, one last one.
Did you know that Ziggy Marley is the singer of the Arthur theme song?
Why would I have known
that? I did not
that?
Know that.
Why would I you think I would have that. Known that?
Because you're a music guy. You love music.
Yeah.
You love Dark Arts,
and
you too. Love,
and I feel like, you know...
The Arthur theme song is fucking lit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, let's play it.
Good.
Let's play it.
Well, we're going to probably play ourselves out with it. But why don't you go ahead and plug anything you want to plug before
I want to plug Doomates.
Yeah.
It is coming soon. Look it up every day on your Spotify and Apple Music until it comes out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the release date
yet. We'll give an update on this show whenever it comes out. And 12 people will hear about it.
Cool.
And then where can people find you and all that?
People can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. They're all different handles.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this.
So Germ Cohen on Instagram, Germ_Cohen on Twitter, and Jeremy Cohen on TikTok.
Nice.
It's a problem.
It's great.
I'm still trying to buy at Germ on Instagram from this guy at Germ. I've been bugging him for it's probably been a decade now.
Damn.
He just won't sell it to you.
I offer him money. He doesn't even respond. He hates me.
Does he use the app at all?
Barely. Go to @germ on Instagram.
Maybe he's just not seeing the things you're sending him.
I gave up after a while. Yeah, he definitely has seen them. He's just not interested. That's fine. He's the one who got it.
Bro.
You know, respect. But
he's not seeing this shit, bro.
Let me try to find
it. The account is private.
Yeah, he's probably private because of me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, don't go to @germ. Go to @germ_Cohen or some shit like that. I guess we got to plug the socials real quick.
Yeah, sure. You can follow the Sizzle Reel Gang @SizzleReelGang on Twitter and Instagram. You know, we also have some good content on TikTok, Shishkin Productions, some on Instagram as well, Shishkin Productions. And we have a Gmail, sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. Send us an email. No one sends us emails anymore.
Send one right now.
Yeah, please.
You probably have your phone within.
Actually, here, let's stop down.
Stop down real quick for your email. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're back. Hopefully you sent that email.
Gave me plenty of time.
Well, they paused it.
Yeah, you know, well, plenty of time.
Or should we give them some dead air?
Yeah.
here's 5 seconds of dead air for you to send your email. All right. Okay, hopefully that went through.
I mean,
no mailer demons here. Mailer demon, whatever the fuck it's called.
Dude, the classic. And of course, we have the Sizzle Reel cold line.
Shit's chilly.
Germ, do you know what the cold line is?
It's ice cold.
Yeah.
You know the number? Why don't you sing it with us?
3-3-2-3-3-5-4-3-61.
Yeah, really good.
3-3-2-3-3-4-3-61. Call in.
Leave a message. It is a cold line. No one will pick up. So you don't have to talk to a real life human. Just talk to the voicemail.
We're spending hundreds of dollars a month on this fucking line and no one's calling. So please call. Jerm, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, good
Chris,
to see you,
thank
Jerm.
You for co-hosting as always.
Yeah, of
and
course.
We'll leave you with a little bit of Ziggy Marley.
Every day when you're walking down the street, everybody that you meet has an original point of view. And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day to learn to work and play and get along with each other. You got to listen to your heart, listen to the beat, listen to the rhythm, rhythm on the street. Open up your eyes, open up your ears, get together and make things better by working together. It's a simple message, and it comes from the heart. Oh, believe in yourself, for that's the place to start.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.